Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So, the Holy Quran, based on these verses, says that the thing which is criticized is misleading, is misguiding others. That is the touchstone. But the kind of poetry which saves the religion of Islam, the kind of poetry which saves the criterion which is truth, is not misguiding anymore, and this is not condemned. At the ending part of this verse, we read, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمُ قَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Some commentators have tried to introduce this returning exclusively to the very fire of hell, this kind of returning, but there is no reason and evidence to limit this concept of the verse to it. But on the contrary, there may be said that the consecutive failures that they suffered in the battles of Badr and the like, and the weakness, disgrace and degradation they finally had in this world, besides the failure in the hereafter, are included in the concept of this kind of threat. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Soon those who act unjustly shall know to what final place of turning they shall turn back. However, in this verse, we studied that one of the qualities of good poets is that they remember Allah very much. Let us end our discussion over this very chapter with the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where in a tradition he says, one of the most grievous and the most important thing that Allah has enjoined people is the remembrance of Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for staying with us throughout our discussion over this chapter, chapter Shu'ara. We are done with the commentary points of this chapter. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always, but for me, worry ends when faith begins.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The theme that I've been talking about in this majalis is basically to see those who are close to Amir al-Mu'mineen so that we can relate to them, look at them as role models and examples of what does it mean to be Shia of Ali. Ali is up there, he's Amir al-Mu'mineen. But on the levels of Iman, you have Salman, Miqdad, Abu Dharr, Ammar, and many others. We looked at the example of Salman Farsi, Abu Dharr Ghifari, Sauda bint Ammara al-Hamdaniya, and even the example of Miqdad. I would like to conclude the discussion with one more example of Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar bin Yasir is known as one of the Al-Arkanul Arba'a, one of the four pillars of the support of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he was among the very early Muslims. Originally, his family comes from Yemeni background. Again, you know, this is the area where you had the support of those who believed in Amir al-Mu'mineen. But of course, his family had settled down in Mecca much before Islam. And as an outsider, they had to associate with one tribe there, as we saw in the example of others, including Miqdad. And so they became Halif, an ally of Banu Makhzum clan in Mecca. للحق دوما مناصير وفي المصيبات صابر نصرت آل محمد أنا عمار بن ياسر أنا عمار بن ياسر مسكت نهج الولاية وبيعت حدر إمامي وتركت حكي الوجاية وثبتت بالحق كلامي حب الوصي ودليلي وصار حيدر خليلي حب الوصي ودليلي وصار حيدر خليلي عشقت حيدر وطاها وفاطمة في رضاها رضيت من له شاكر أنا عمار بن ياسر. Ammar is one of the earliest Muslims. He actually was a friend of the Prophet even before Islam, and almost same age as the Prophet. And during the early days when they used to meet in the house of Arqam, it became famous as Darul Arqam. That was the gathering place of the Muslims in Mecca. That's where he and his friend Suhaib bin Sanan became Muslim together. It was through his influence that his parents also, you know, moved towards Islam. You know, sometimes we only think the parents would influence the children. This is opposite. It is the son influencing the parents to become Muslims. However, when the faith of Islam started increasing, this is where the mushrikeen, you know, started adopting different strategies to prevent this mission of the Prophet. And one of the things they did was they started pressurizing those who were not from prominent families or didn't have tribal support. So people like Miqdad or people like Ammar and his family, who are basically confederates or allies or halif and client of another clan there, that's where you see that these are the people who are known as mustadhafin, the weak ones in society. They didn't have full rights. And so the mushrikeen started basically physically torturing them so that they may renounce Islam. People like Bilal, you heard his story. He was a slave and the master started, you know, physically torturing him. And that also happened to the family of Ammar. His parents, himself and his brother Abdullah, they were all physically tortured so that they may renounce Islam. The Prophet would pass by, but he couldn't do much at that time. He would just, you know, console them by saying, Sabran ya Ali Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Maintain patience. The promise that I have for you is that whatever happens, you will have the Jannah at the end. And Ammar's, you know, parents also resisted till the end. Means they were tortured to the point of death. Ammar was there, still tied, and he could see that the father and mother refused to renounce Islam. And they, you know, Yasir and Sumayya became the first martyrs in the history of Islam. And this is where, you know, Ammar, when he saw the torture of his own parents, in order to save his own life, he renounced Islam verbally and praised the idols of Quraysh. And because of that, they let him go. They said, okay, you are fine now, go. He immediately goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was crying. Not crying for his parents. He says, Rasulullah, I was forced to save my life and I uttered these words against you. What will happen to me? This is the early days of Islam. You know, the rules have not yet come in. And that is where Rasulullah asked him, tell me, when you were uttering these words of kufr, was your heart at peace with Iman or not? He says, yes. These were only words. I was at peace as far as my Iman is concerned. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat number 106 of chapter 16. This ayat specially came for Ammar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi." Whoever disbelieves after the Iman, illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. So this is the judgment about somebody who becomes kafir after becoming a mu'min. But then Allah puts an exception there. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Except somebody who was forced because of the circumstances, while his heart was still at peace with faith. وَمَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. However, whoever opens their hearts towards kufr, not only on you know, tongue, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They will have Allah's wrath and severe punishment in the hereafter. This is, we see this, the first ayat about the principle of taqiyya. Taqiyya, you know, dissimulation, where you say words of kufr in order to save your own life or honor or property. Depends on the severity of the situation.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
Aperture. Welcome back to Aperture. In the first part of the program, we followed Javad, an Iranian nature explorer and documentary filmmaker, to the south of Iran and saw the most amazing combination nature could match together, the desert and the sea. We also met the region's native inhabitants and got acquainted with their unique lifestyle. Stay with us as Javad travels to other villages of the region to discover the culture and customs of the people.
In the past, the staple grains for all of Iran came from Sistan and Balochistan. But what for severe drought spells and misguided planning over the years, the province has completely lost that status. But today, in some areas of this province, and in the Bahu Kalat district in particular, all kinds of vegetables and tropical fruits are cultivated. There is a mango tree that's in full bloom, exploding with blossoms. In about 5 months, they will turn into delicious, juicy mangoes. This is heaven indeed. Walking around in the palm groves and other gardens in Bahu Kalat gives me a lot of peace. One of the most beautiful things I come across during my stroll is the Baluchi squirrel. The Baluchi squirrel, also known as the stripy or palm squirrel, is a unique species of rodents living in parts of Iran, Pakistan, India, Nepal, and Bangladesh. The most distinctive feature of this mammal is the dark stripes on a white background on its back. In the past, the inhabitants of Sistan and Balochistan believed these stripes were the fingerprints of the gods. A typical Baluchi squirrel is between 13 and 15 centimeters from its head to the end of its rump, and its tail adds an additional 14 to 19 centimeters to its total length. It's quite refreshing to see Baluchi children playing and gallivanting around in the banana groves. Beautiful, pure souls, the product of their serene, peaceful surroundings. Children of Shir Gwaz spend the whole week waiting to go to the fruit groves near the village to expend some of their inexhaustible energy. What they also do is they cook their traditional food on their own, and just like their elders, they gather around, sing, and play. The kids here have distinctive, innocent faces. They are just gorgeous. And they're all wearing their traditional costumes, boys and girls alike. All wearing traditional clothes. They are among the oldest, most original tribes in Iran. They're very noble and very patient. They are a people with a lot of patience. And although some of them don't have good living conditions, they are very patient folks. They're so content. The Baluchi culture is the perfect example of a culture of nobility and peace. And those cultural traits are readily visible in the architecture of the old houses in this village. The architectural design is endemic to Balochistan. You can't see anything like this anywhere else in Iran. There are also new houses in these areas with designs influenced by Indian and Pakistani cultures and architectures. One of the characteristics of Baluch families is their large populations. Wherever in the village I go, I'm surrounded by many of the little angels offering a breath of fresh air after a long day of hard work. They fill my heart with peace and joy. Perhaps one of the reasons these kids are so happy is their beautiful, tranquil, natural environments. Just as influential is the beautiful, happy colors used in the clothes that these little girls have on. Clothes that are embroidered by the artistic hands of their mothers. Hand embroidery on colorful clothes and fabric is among the most important crafts of Baluchi women. And fortunately, Baluchi women have been able to preserve this exquisite art, a skill handed down through generations. It's noontime. It can get really hot in Shirguaz, even in the middle of winter. But the boys of the village have a good solution to fighting the scorching heat. What they do at a time like this is jump into the waters of Shirguaz River and swim to their heart's content. These children usually play together in groups. The day offers an opportunity for me to make a return to the beautiful carefree days of my own childhood. Live life as an uninhibited, unabashed explorer of the unknown. Playing with these children serves as an outlet for the negative energy in me. Although the children in Shirguaz don't have much to entertain themselves with, they are all growing up happy, healthy, and strong by playing in groups and making the best of what their natural environment provides them with. No computers to spend the whole day on, playing virtual computer games that don't involve any physical activity, video games that have taken the place of playing outside for many kids today, outdoor experiences in nature, and plenty of physical activity that a growing body craves. These children's only toy is nature, going up trees, diving into the river and swimming, playing with animals, singing songs and helping their parents at home and on the farm, frolicking around and playing with stones and pebbles. This non-stop joyful mobility is the reason behind these children's physical health and happy disposition. Very soon, I leave the village and set out for my next destination. I have to travel 250 kilometers to the west of Baluchistan, to a place 80 kilometers north of the city of Nikshar, a name that reminds me of my country's beautiful north. Given its unique geographical location, Baluchistan has a diverse and strange climate. Some parts of this area is affected by the tropical climate of India, in the south by the Sea of Oman, in the west by the Jaz-Murian inland basin, and in the north by Lut Desert. Surrounded by these different climatic conditions, Baluchistan features diverse lifestyles and various plant and animal species. Baluchistan is a dry, water-thirsty land. The average annual rainfall in the province is around 110 millimeters. But the important thing is, all that water comes down in only a couple of torrential rainfalls that cause the rivers in the province to overflow their banks. The ensuing flooding leaves behind a trail of destruction every time. The people here tell me they get snow and blizzards in some winters too, because of the mountains in the Gorgan area. Perhaps you'll find it interesting to know there is a place named Gorgan in Sistan and Balochistan province. But no, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the city of Gorgan in the north of Iran. This area is comprised of around 11 villages punctuating this mountainous area. It can get freezing cold here. The people of Balochistan say, except for Mount Taftan and Mount Basman, the only other place where you can see snow in the highlands is the same Gorgan region in Balochistan. It can get really cold here. Because of the altitude and the relatively good rainfall here, this valley usually has a good amount of water. And abundant water means life and prosperity. The people of Gorgan are either farmers or orchard owners or livestock keepers. The most important thing for them to be able to do any of those things is to have clean drinking water. The people of the first village I visit are very kind and hospitable. In my conversations with them, I realize all the young people in the village are busy working simply because there is enough water. Everyone has something to do. They're all grateful to God for all their blessings. Their biggest asset is contentment. I could say most of the things I have seen in this village were built from scratch by the men and women living here. They are all content with what they have. They even have electricity. They live a beautiful, simple, and healthy life, away from the hustle and bustle of city life and excesses that distract human beings from their true self and from nature. The Baluch community leads a simple lifestyle in their simple homes in Balochistan. They don't even expect a paved road. The peace that these lovely people exude is a breath of fresh air against the vicissitudes of city life. I am so at peace when I am in their fold. Before long, I resume my journey and arrive in the village of Archenik, a bucolic settlement second to none. But it isn't the architecture and natural environment that lends Archenik its beauty. The most beautiful thing I come across is the hospitality of the local inhabitants. Archenikis are hard-working, hospitable people. Moments after I reach the village, one of the elders comes to welcome me and invite me to his beautiful house. And the family gives me the red carpet treatment. Personally, I have a lot of respect for the culture and customs of this lovely ancient tribe and have tried my best not to have a negative impact on the culture or any of the good social norms of this community. Instead, I learned from them things that I had no idea about before I met them. I have had many trips to far and exotic places in Iran. And on those trips, I saw many and varied village houses and nomad tents. But nothing like the teeps in the Gorgan region. Beautiful, modest homes that offer peace and tranquility, just like their natural surroundings. Village elder, Pir Muhammad, fills me in on how they build their houses. My trip is nearing its end. That means I have to leave the beautiful Sistan and Balochistan province and head back home. I leave with a bag of experience and memories as sweet as the dates of Gorgan. And I do so knowing that I haven't done any harm to the natural environment and the culture of this ancient tribe.
Well, I'm quite sure that this week's documentary about Iran's natural wonders intrigued all our audience across the globe. And I hope it inspires you to come and explore the hidden treasures of Iran. And that's it for this week. Do keep in touch with us. And until next week, goodbye.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints and Analysis on the Thoughts and Speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salim, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From day one after Islamic Republic of Iran was founded, the late Imam Khomeini has always addressed the issue of Palestine as not only an important case for the Muslims, but whole freedom seekers, all the people who are justice seekers around the world. This has enlightened a kind of new light in the hearts of the people, not only Muslims, but so many people are around the world. But it's still the same question. Why so many Muslim lands? Because one of the main slogans of Islam must be defending the rights of the oppressed, of the mazlumin all around the world, mustazafin around the world. So why, as Sayyid said, hand in hand with the superpowers, some of the Muslim lands are, Brother Salah?
When we compare the Islam in Iran before revolution of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, and after revolution, this will be understood as well. Now we have to compare the old one government with the new one, which we have now, Islamic government in Iran.
Yes.
This looks like the same thing happens in those Islamic countries. Islamic countries now is like Islamic country of Iran before Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of Islam is in the mind, but the government against of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it can affect the people idea, the people or understanding of what of Islam, what is Islam, what is really, what is the real of Islam, what is the really Islam, what we say in English.
Yes.
So they will say we are Muslim, but they think the Islam or the Muslim should just go to pray and fast and give zakat maybe.
Yes.
For those Shia homes.
Yes.
And this is enough.
Okay.
So some people in the world who we call them Muslims are Muslim by the names.
Okay.
By their names only, and they are not be affected by really the basis of Islam, and they don't know what is really Islam. says about being Muslim. It's just because we have the kind of types of what we call performing namaz, or yes. say praying yes. or fasting, or all of these. These are you with what? With your God.
Yes.
And we have another thing, you with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Nahjul Balagha,
yes.
the people are like you sometime as a what? As a human being, and others are brother of you as what? As a Muslim like you. So according to this idea, how you are God to act to your brother if something happened to him, and how you will act if there is someone is not your brother as what? A brother, as a Muslim brother,
yes, yes, yes.
but is a brother of what?
Yes.
Of kind of you. You have the same kind of what humanity is, a human being.
I could remember the sentence of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Malik al-Ashtar when he was sent as the governor to Egypt, that Malik, listen, the people you are going to are either your brother in faith or brother in humanity.
Yeah.
Big lesson, yeah. okay? So now the case is that, okay, so many Christians living over there, they are being killed. They are our brothers in humanity. So what's happening? So still, the big question is that these people are killed. And today, you know, in the, for example, 23 years ago, maybe there was not so many footage of the video or the pictures of the people being killed. But now just look and search for Palestine on the Google. You know, the first thing that comes are the innocent children that are being killed. It's all in Palestine. In Palestine, now in Syria, okay? You can see that Israel... how can I say? That's right. Fired missiles on Syria's capital with full power, and is proud of being, you know, attacking even the lands of other countries. What kind of geopolitics is this? The new world, I mean, that we are talking about.
So the real, what we've said, the real Islam in another thing, and what we believe ourselves in another thing else.
Mm-hmm.
And since there is no the basics of teaching of Islam in those countries is what is Islam, pure Islam. It's not Islam what we believe. Sometimes I believe this is Islam. Like what I told you, before the Imam Khomeini revolution of Iran, how people of Iran were living.
Yes.
And after revolution, what do they believe in now? Now they believe what? To defend other people, it's not only Muslims. They are defending other people, other nations yes. around the world.
Yes.
Because of what? Of the new idea of Islam which came to what? To this nation.
Yes.
Before that, they believe just what they say. You want to go to disco? Go to disco.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to what? To pray? Go to the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
So you are free. So this is the Islam before revolution, and the new Islam what we have now, the Islam, the real one, which tells you what? Tells you the real of Islam, it has a way, and
yes.
is a straight way. Mm-hmm. It's not different ways we have to follow, sometime this one, sometime that one.
Mm-hmm.
And which one you will follow will be guided.
Okay.
It's not this idea.
That's all
Maybe
right.
this is the main point
okay.
of being this what? Chaos is around
right.
the world, and all people are quiet.
That's right.
Mainly, I'm not saying
okay.
all, mainly.
But there is still a contradiction, Sayyid, over here. From one side, we could see the Arab, I don't call it Muslim Israel ties, the Arab Israel ties. Most of the Arabs call themselves so-called Muslims. But from the other side, do you believe that the presence of Israel in this region helps very much the case of Islamophobia around the world?
Well, obviously, for sure, because Israel is on the main list of, you know, the enemies of Islam and the Islamic phobia since the revolution has happened.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the very first, we can say the first enemies which we can list is the Israeli regime. And since Imam Khomeini also has pointed that this Zionist regime should be, you know, should be vanished, or it should be eliminated from this land.
Yes.
And Muslims or the Palestinians, because Imam Khomeini is not using the word Muslim as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing
yeah, yeah.
which we need to
yeah.
consider.
Yes.
Palestinians.
Yes.
Within Palestine, we have Jews,
yes.
we have Christians, we have Muslims.
Yes.
All three religions, people of three faiths, are living in the Palestinian land.
Yes.
So basically, Imam Khomeini has talked about the freedom of the Palestinians, not the Muslims.
Yes.
So it's not a matter of Muslims.
Yes.
That's the first thing. The other thing is Islam, as brother has beautifully explained, that Islam after the revolution, what Imam Khomeini has revived, basically, which he, you know, he reminded us that the Islam is about raising your voice against the occupation, against the injustice, and against the, we can say, like, you know, the terrorism.
Yes.
So all these things make us to raise our voice against the Zionist regime, which is in the Palestinian lands, which has taken this land from them. On the other hand, obviously, we need to also consider that this Zionist regime, because, you know, they are rooted in, like, they have roots in the business. They were strong. They, you know, own a lot of, you know, companies which have, you know, which are backing different, we can say, like, you know, groups in the political groups in different yes. countries financially. That's why we can see, like, these people are like that. On the other hand, obviously, this is not only about the Arabs and the Zionist regime. This is about the Islam. And the thing which I think mentioned before, that since they believe in a savior,
yes.
and that savior is against the Jesus Christ,
yes.
that savior is against the Imam Mahdi. So mm-hmm. basically, the Christians and the Muslims, they both are the threats for the Zionist regime.
Yes.
If today the American regime or the American officials, they don't understand this, tomorrow they will find that how this Zionist regime will back to them, and obviously it will fight against the Christianity within the American lands. And the other point is because, you know, most of the countries, the people that we have, as brother also mentioned,
yes.
about the beliefs and the being a Muslim, it's basically the concept of secularism.
Yes.
We have secular Muslims.
Yes.
We have secular Christians.
Okay.
They think that the religious rituals are different from what we need to practically live or believe and do in our life. So this secularism has separated
Yes.
the roots of religion from the Muslim lands,
okay.
from the Muslims.
That's
but
right.
yes, that is true, that Israel is the Zionist regime is the basically threat for the Muslims, especially, and it is spreading the Islamophobia. On the other hand, we can see, like it's been proved,
yes.
that they have the plotted people, they have many people who they hired who are working on the social media. You know, posting.
It was even disclosed that they have helped ISIS.
Yes.
I mean, the Israelis and the Zionists have helped ISIS.
On the social media,
a big
yes.
shock to the world.
On the social media, they're working on this thing.
Yes.
They are, you know, the through before the logarithm.
Yes.
Before the algorithm.
Yes.
Basically, they were having people, plotted people who were posting different things against
yes.
the Islam.
Yes.
You know, the disputed issues between the Shia Sunnis. They were done by Israeli, even in Pakistan. Let me tell you one more thing.
Yes.
That one of our, you know, the Pakistani anchors,
yes.
TV anchors, he was giving this interview, and he said that he met a guy in Dubai
mm-hmm.
who used to be a mullah or the imam of one of the mosques
yes.
in one of the cities of Pakistan. And when he met him, he saw that he's drinking alcohol.
Oh,
and he asked him, like, you were the imam of that mosque, how you do this? And he said that I'm basically Zionist, and I was there to do my job, and my job is finished, and I'm retired now. So he's spending his life in
a
Dubai
spy.
Right now. He was a spy.
Okay.
He was a plotted person. You know, the head of ISIS.
Yes.
Who is he?
Yeah.
You know, the
Al-Baghdadi?
Al-Baghdadi.
Or was killed. To say he was killed.
Yeah, he yes. was killed, but he was actually a Zionist.
Really?
He wasn't a Muslim.
This is a big claim, man. Okay, how do you prove it?
I can do this claim.
You can do that? Okay, that's right.
No, he was Zionist. He has rooted, obviously, there were documents which, uh-huh. you know, the...
He was trained at least.
He was trained at
okay.
least at that place. So,
okay.
you know, if someone has been trained, even, you know, about the people in the part of Kurdistan of Iran,
yes.
who are doing the terrorist activities...
Yes.
There are documents right now.
Okay.
We have documentaries. There are the proofs now mm-hmm. that they are trained in such area, like in the Israel.
That's right.
And
okay.
they're trained by them.
Okay. Thank you, Omar Said Mohsen and Brother Salam, for a nice elaboration. Inshallah, Palestine will be free. Al-Quds will be free.
And inshallah, this genocide is being stopped. And the freedom seekers, justice seekers all around the world, every day, they are active too. I mean, we have Jabhat al-Haq, Jabhat al-Batil. Of course, Jabhat al-Haq is also active, you know, on his own side, regardless of the race, language, religion, or anything. The late Imam Khomeini's wish is becoming true, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim, for a nice elaboration. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Palestine will be free.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين الْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human traits, things that makes a human being human. And obviously we're looking at the negative ones because these are the things that we're trying to avoid, so inshallah we don't fall in this trap. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned much more about the human and what makes him human and how the human being can destroy and destruct, bring themselves to self-destruct if they don't learn to control these traits. And always, me and you, first and foremost, we have to begin by learning what these traits are. Otherwise, we can put ourselves in a lot of trouble. So we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about bukhl, talks about hirs, talks about understanding and not understanding and this and that. All of this we've spoken about, many, many more. Now, when it comes to us as a human being, sometimes we don't uphold the position that's given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that itself is a big problem. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created man, He created him to be His khalifa on earth, to be His leader on earth. And it's not a one-man job, mind you. So when we say khalifa, it's not just for one specific person. Yes, there are specific khulafa. There are specific rulers that Allah has appointed. But each one of us is a khalifa of Allah. Khalifa means I have a role to play. I have something to do. And if I fail at it, then I have failed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even He went through the hassle and the problem of وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. When your Lord said to the angels, I'm creating angels, I'm creating human beings on earth. Khalifa, my vicegerent, my guardian on earth. The Malaika obviously didn't like the concept. Straight away they rejected. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْمَكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Do you want to put someone on earth that just sheds blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُكَ. Why we sit here glorifying you? Why don't you just choose one of us? So they wanted to be the khulafa of Allah on earth. So the hadith from Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi, where he explains this verse, he says, the malaika, they said, Ya Rab, إِن كُنْتَ لَا بُدَّ جَعَلًا فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا فَجَعَلْ مِنَّا. If you insisting on making a vicegerent or a guardian on earth, then make him from amongst us. مِمَّنْ يَعْمَلُ فِي خَلْقِكَ بِطَاعَتِكَ. That's the key. They said, if it is one of us in charge of the human beings, we will make sure that the people will not harm anyone else except the young ones, even the ones who are young. Inni, Allah said to them, a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. At the end of the day, I know that which you do not know. You think that you, if Allah says, if you think that if I place you on earth, you're going to do, you know, good and create good, but even if I have to bring you down to earth, I have to bring you down as a human. I can't bring you as an angel, because that wouldn't work. Allah says even if we have to send an angel to them, we have to make them human so they can relate to. If he's a different species to me, he's not going to have the same problems as me. So he can't be a hujjah on me. But if the malaika themselves, they come down and take a human form, they'll be tempted as much as me and you will. Now, let's take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. Now, so we were saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a new khalifa on earth. So we need to play the position of a khalifa, the position of a leader on earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and he's quoting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ibn Adam, ana al-hayyu alladhi la amut, fa'ata'ni aj'aluka hayyan la tamut, wa ana ala kulli shay'in qadir. O son of man, I am the one who's living that will never die. And you are obviously the one that dies. Allah says, فَجْعَلْ أَطَعْنِي, worship me, be obedient to me, and I will make you forever alive, and you will never die. And obviously, Allah is talking about the fact that those who are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are with Him, they are constantly with Him. If they are with Him, then they are constantly alive. So He's saying, remember me, and I will make sure that I will do whatever I can to make you alive. So as a Khalifa on earth, your number one priority is worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also another hadith, which is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along the same lines, he says, أَجْعَلُكَ حَيًّا لَا تَمُوتُ أَنَا غَنِي لَا أَفْتَقَرُ, for I am in power, I have wealth, I never go poor. أَجْعَلُكَ غَنِيًّا لَا تَفْتَقَرُ, I will also make you a person who is rich that will never become poor. أَنَا مَهْمَا أَشَاءُ يَكُنْ, I, whatever I want, it will be. And I will also give you whatever you need. So as Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your first priority is to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the things that He wants from you, which is obedience. And once you become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to assume your responsibilities and duties towards Allah. So for example, when a person gets married, for example, he's in charge of his wife and his family and his children. When the wife has kids, she's in charge of the house and her children. A teacher is in charge of his students, and so on and so forth. So each one of us, we have a responsibility to play. We have a role to play in this earth. But sometimes what we seem to be doing is we are neglecting that. Instead of me taking charge and trying to fix things and trying to create a better world for myself and for my children or what have you, we're actually just sitting at home, entertaining ourselves, not caring about anybody. We just only care about ourselves. So we are failing at the إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, that I'm making a vicegerent or making a guardian on earth. So as a believing man and woman, in order for us to become good human beings and help other human beings, is that first and foremost, we need to take